importance of the bill. As I've often said, the oil and gas industry is defined by innovation and results. Increasing levels of domestic oil and natural gas production and environmental stewardship are also not mutually exclusive, he told the reporter Telegram by email. Senator Cornyn's leading act will help advance the development and application of natural gas carbon capture technologies, one of many areas of focus within our industry to reduce energy emissions. In contrast to the ridiculous Green New Deal, which would destroy our economy, the leading act would help incentivize research and development to further improve our environmental footprint while protecting the unprecedented economic contributions made by our industry, Longenecker said. Under the act, the Secretary of Energy would be required to establish a program to research, develop, and demonstrate commercially viable technologies to capture carbon dioxide from natural gas-fueled power-generating plants. The goal of the legislation is to incentivize research and development of cost-effective carbon capture technology, thus accelerating development and commercial technologies and creating a partnership with the private sector for demonstration projects. The Department of Energy would be encouraged to include the participation of national laboratories, universities, and research facilities, including the National Carbon Capture Center. The DOE would be required to seek applications for demonstration projects and submit reports to Congress detailing legislative recommendations, application evaluation methods, expected goals for technology development, estimated project costs, and timelines for project construction. Nine Energy Service prepares for slower activity levels. CEO, safety is issue that can be controlled. By Mella McEwen, MMCEWEN at MRT.com. Like other oilfield service companies, Houston's Nine Energy Service has been impacted by lower commodity prices and reduced drilling activity, prompted by investor demands for capital discipline. The market has been difficult, activity levels have been challenging, said Ann Fox, chief executive officer. Like its upstream counterparts, capital markets have been absolutely shut to the service industry, she said during a visit to Midland. Service companies such as Nine have been living within cash flow, she said. The company is trying to focus more on efficiency and will be investing more in operational excellence programs and safety programs, she said. We work exclusively in completions, especially deep completions, she said. She estimated the Permian Basin is 40% of its market because it has the longest laterals, often just shy of 20,000 feet. The average lateral is about 10,000 feet. Where operators can put together the acreage to support longer laterals, she said they often see more cost efficiencies. Nine is introducing dissolvable plugs for the Permian Basin that are designed to facilitate deep-reaching completions. They can go deep and won't have to go back in to drill out the plugs, she said. Fox, who became CEO in 2015, is upbeat about the long-term outlook for the company and the industry. But she is also preparing the company for slower activity levels. We work to control what we can control, she said. And one of the things that can be controlled is safety, she said, which is what brought her to the company's offices on Interstate 20 last week. She was in town to award 2019 Ford F-150 XLT trucks to two employees in recognition of their outstanding safety records. The employees are Matthew Vick, a completion tool specialist in Marietta, Ohio, and Osvaldo Alcaraz Arana, a pump operator in Enid, Oklahoma. I'm excited to recognize two outstanding employees, Fox said. The truck giveaway is a new program that she said will continue each year. Under the program, 30 employees who demonstrated outstanding safety records qualified for the giveaway. The two winners' names were drawn in a raffle. Though the company had the best safety results in its history last year, Fox is looking to do even better. She described an interdependent safety culture that offers a different type of program and processes. It involves every single employee, she said. Employees are empowered to report any safety-related concerns they have. Local managers report any incidents and cause analyses are conducted. We go back and do an audit to see if changes that should be made have been made, Fox said. We also look at feedback on how these changes were implemented. A software program also provides real-time safety updates. Employees buy into the safety program, Fox said, because the information flows up to my office. Nine, which has 1,500 employees, operates in the major U.S. basins, the Permian, Eagle Ford, Scoop Stack, Niobrara, Barnett, Bakken, Marcellus, and Utica, and throughout Canada. Milestone Environmental opens Midland office. By Mella McEwen, MMCEWEN at MRT.com. Since its founding, Milestone Environmental Services has had a goal of not being too far from its clients' operations. Now that goal has expanded to its office locations. The Houston-based company has just opened an office in Midland at 10 Desta Drive. For some time, we've had our regional operations managers, our sales managers working from our facilities or from home or out of their trucks as they visit their clients, Gabriel Rio, president and chief executive officer, said in a phone interview. He said it was time to give them a permanent home where they could meet with clients or with team members or do paperwork, among other needs. A second reason is that the company has been moving some support services to Midland to accommodate its 7 facilities in the Permian Basin. Services such as human resources to help with hiring, training, and retaining employees. Yet another reason is that as the oilfield waste disposal company expands its focus from slurry facilities that handle liquid oilfield waste to landfills that handle solid oilfield waste, more regulations come into play. Rio said it's important that staff members be able to get out to Milestone facilities quickly rather than having to come out from Houston. Since 2016, the company has built disposal sites around Orla and Pecos, Stanton and Big Spring, and its South Midland facility just south of the Midland County line. The company's first landfill opened in Orla late last year and its second in Upton County near the South Midland facility will open in the coming weeks. With the addition of the landfills, Rio said the company is evolving its operations to be more of a one-stop shop. We can manage the transportation, move their waste to Milestone facilities. We can handle collection, transportation, and disposal, he said. Since the company began operations, he said he has told investors and customers that Milestone is in business to help mitigate environmental impact. Exploration and production companies have the legal option to dispose of their waste at the well site, Rio said. We offer them the option of disposing of that waste in a professional way and mitigate land and water contamination. In today's world, where greenhouse gas is a consideration for the industry and a lot of our customers are concerned about emissions, we can offer a carbon-negative option. The industry may be in the throes of its second downturn since 2015, but Rio called the Permian Basin more resilient than other basins, and he predicted the region will continue to be very active and take a larger share of the world's oil market. He said the Permian has been a wonderful market for the company, and it continues to be. He's looking forward to the opening of the Upton County landfill soon, but Rio said Milestone will continue to grow. We're still in the midst of a Permian Basin build-out, he said. We're planning new facilities. I'm hoping to have open by the end of 2020 or early 2021. Our build-out plan is certainly not finished. There are areas that need better coverage. Two, he said the company is in a position to acquire smaller disposal companies.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing reading from the business sections from Sunday, March 8th, from the Odessa American business section. The Bear Emerges by Dennis Elam. Has the financial bubble popped? There is no sign of a technical bottom in oil. Last week's column. Our discussion about early warning signs from a weakening energy service sector, the XES, have now come true. Consider how quickly these two stocks have cratered. ExxonMobil traded below $50 Thursday, just $4 above book value. Cullen/Frost Bank, while making about $100 million last quarter, has dropped 24% in 2 months. It trades at $74, just $14 above its book value. A bullish economy has a multiplier effect. A dollar spent passes through multiple hands to result in many dollars generated. But macroeconomics works in reverse in this situation. Conventions and trips are being canceled worldwide. Airlines, cruise lines, and hotels are reeling. Gondolier rides in Venice are down 50%. Auto sales look to be the worst since 2009, down 80% in the last month in China. Social mood is unremembered, and buy the dip has been the mantra since the bull market began in the summer of 1982. As noted last week, the energy market is already deep in bear territory and is now joined by financials like Frost Bank. Accountant Ralph Elliott formed his Elliott Wave theory in the 1930s. It is a three steps forward, two steps back progression in both up and down markets. Once the first wave progression ends, the markets reverse. The coronavirus is a news distraction. The five waves have ended, and the news is simply looking for a fundamental reason for the reversal. Yes, we do have a massive world supply chain problem, but the evidence listed here last week argues that if the bull has not ended, it is surely on life support. XOM, as I write, is making bold predictions about its plans for 2024, which includes a 10% cut in Permian production. Note to XOM, the markets will be dictating your capital expenditures. Note your falling stock price. As usual, OPEC is grappling with Russia for production cuts. Whatever they do, it is not likely to change the price trajectory. Oil prices are headed for the low 40s. The affirmation of my belief that the 1982 bull market has ended is the 10-year Treasury note yield of 0.92%. Jerome Powell and Donald Trump are now out of ammunition. There will be no quantitative easing to rescue this swoon. Once again, the yield curve is inverted. Long-term rates are below short-term rates. The stock markets tend to run about 9 months ahead of the economy, so look for the effects of all this to become evident in the fourth quarter. The DJIA is down another 761 points in pre-market trading this Friday. This suggests the markets are accelerating in what Elliott termed a third wave, the strongest of the five. If so, this first decline won't end until the low 20s. Dennis Elam is an assistant professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. and blogs at www.themarketperspective.com. And now here's the Better Business Bureau's column by Heather Massey. National Consumer Protection Week 2020. National Consumer Protection Week, NCPW, March 1st through 7th is here. The Federal Trade Commission, FTC, organizes NCPW each year and partners with businesses and organizations across the country to inform consumers about scams, identity theft, and other consumer protection issues. Better Business Bureau is a proud NCPW 2020 partner and has a vision for an ethical marketplace where buyers and sellers can trust each other. In observance of NCPW, we take time to remind consumers of the resources we have to offer them. Business profiles. A quick search on BBB.org can lead you to business profiles for any kind of service you may need. These profiles contain reviews, complaints, the business's BBB rating, and will show the BBB seal if it's an accredited business. Customer complaints and reviews. Learning from another consumer's experience is extremely valuable, and by seeing what comments they left on a particular business's profile, you can decide if that is the right business for you to work with. BBB Scam Tracker. Every year, consumers lose their hard-earned money to scammers and fraud. BBB Scam Tracker allows consumers to see which scams are popping up in their areas and what signs to look out for. It's also a good resource for victims to report their stories to help others from falling into the same traps. Military Line. Military families and veterans are more likely to be the target of scams since they have steady paychecks and are often younger. Military Line offers a variety of resources to help military personnel and their families learn which scams to watch out for and how to best keep their money safe. Auto Line. BBB Auto Line is a dispute resolution program that allows you to resolve lemon law complaints without hiring a lawyer. The program covers car warranty issues against participating manufacturers. Request a quote. Planning any home improvements or need a last-minute makeover? Working on a budget? Request a quote allows consumers to get quick and easy quotes for the services they need from BBB-accredited businesses. Our mission is to be the leader in advancing marketplace trust. We accomplish this not only through providing exceptional resources to the community, but by setting standards. Accredited businesses must constantly uphold and maintain our standards for trust. Encouraging and supporting best practices. It is part of our mission to engage with and educate both consumers and businesses. Celebrating marketplace role models. We give torch awards for marketplace ethics to businesses that best exemplify our standards. Addressing substandard behavior. When we see businesses engaging in substandard behavior, we help resolve the issue. Creating a community of trustworthy businesses and charities. BBB's Wise Giving Alliance teaches consumers how to be sure their money is truly going to the causes they care about. To learn more about what BBB has to offer consumers, visit BBB.org. Heather Massey is the Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. Check out BBB.org or call 563-1880. Here's an article from the front page of the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Wednesday, March 11th. Saudis escalate oil price war with huge output hike. Russia follows. By Matthew Martin, Javier Bloss, and Grant Smith, Bloomberg. Saudi Arabia on Tuesday escalated its oil price war with Russia as its state-owned company pledged to supply a record 12.3 million barrels a day next month, a massive increase to flood the market. the supply hike, more than 25% higher than last month's production, puts Aramco above its maximum sustainable capacity, indicating that the kingdom is even tapping its strategic inventories to dump as much crude on the market as quickly as possible. Moscow responded within minutes, with Energy Minister Alexander Novak saying Russia had the ability to boost production by 500,000 barrels a day. That would put the country's output potentially at 11.8 million barrels a day, also a record. There is a significant amount of market posturing going on between Saudi Arabia and Russia, said Jafar Altay, managing director of Abu Dhabi-based consultant Manar Group. They're both getting ready to fight a pretty aggressive price war. It was the latest maneuver in what's set to be a long and bitter conflict between the two former allies. Other members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries followed in their wake, with Iraq saying it would increase shipments by as much as 350,000 barrels a day next month, and Nigeria adding about 100,000 more. The market is confronted with an unprecedented situation, a huge supply surge combined with a historic demand slump from the coronavirus. On Monday, crude slumped almost 25%, the largest one-day drop in almost 30 years, creating mayhem in global equity and bond markets. The outcome of the price war will be determined by each side's ability to inflict damage, but also their ability to absorb it. Saudi Arabia has greater offensive capabilities thanks to about 2 million barrels a day of idle production capacity. Riyadh can also use its strategic oil stocks to boost supplies at a very short notice, according to people familiar with its strategy. On top of domestic stockpiles, it also stores crude near consumption hubs in Rotterdam, Okinawa, and the Egyptian port of Sidi Kerir. Russia doesn't have a network of strategic oil stocks to match. Russia may have the defensive advantage. The Kremlin can dip into its $150 billion wealth fund to offset the slump and bolster the ruble. Those reserves are sufficient to cover lost revenue for 6 to 10 years at oil prices of $25 to $30 a barrel, the finance ministry said. In Saudi Arabia, if Brent crude remains at $35 without an adjustment in government spending, the kingdom would run a deficit of nearly 15% of economic output in 2020, while its net foreign reserves could run out in about 5 years unless it uses other funding sources, according to Abu Dhabi Commercial Bank. For decades, the oil market has been largely regulated, first by Americans, who set production quotas for their companies through the Texas Railroad Commission in the first half of the 20th century, and later by the OPEC cartel. Through that time, Texas and later OPEC acted as swing producers, upping output at times of scarcity and reducing it at times of lower demand to keep prices stable. "Welcome to the free market," said Bob McNally, founder of the consultant Rapidan Energy Group and a former White House official. The world is about to learn very swiftly how important a swing producer is for stability, not only for global oil market, but the broader economy and geopolitics. With oil demand rapidly falling due to the economic output of the coronavirus epidemic, the Saudi production hike, followed potentially by another one from Russia, is likely to force companies to store crude rather than process it. Traders are already seeking out tankers to store the glut. The International Energy Agency earlier this week said that global oil demand will contract this year for the first time since the global financial crisis in 2009. The U.S. and other Western countries are starting to worry about the oil price war between two of the world's most powerful petroleum nations. On Monday, the U.S. Department of Energy denounced in a rare statement attempts by state actors to manipulate and shock oil markets. Even as he responded in kind to the Saudi escalation, Novak reiterated his position from last week's failed conference. Russia hasn't closed the door on cooperation with OPEC+. In the final moments of last week's gathering, the minister made a point of reminding fellow producers that Moscow was still prepared to continue their existing output cuts until the middle of the year. The alliance's next meeting remains scheduled for June 9th to 10th, but Novak said on Tuesday it could actually take place earlier, in May. Other countries in the network, such as Algeria, Nigeria, and the United Arab Emirates, have signaled that reconciliation may be a better way forward, as the impact of last week's acrimonious split on the market becomes clear. Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland, Odessa area. It's 58 and cloudy. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the low 50s. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, March 8th, 2020, Section E, Culture. West Texas artist creates frying pan fire for ENAM. 33 pieces of artwork by Alice Leese on display by J.C. Lewis. Odessa. Rancher and painter Alice Leese created a special work to be displayed on one wall during the Way Out West exhibit that opened Thursday at the Ellen Noel Art Museum. The large triptych depicts the frying pan ranch fire of 2011. The museum's curator said he was excited to have a local artist on display. It was really nice that we could highlight one of our regional artists that we have, Daniel Zeese said. Zeese said that her work reminds him of Works Progress Administration style artwork and other paintings from the 1930s. On display will be 33 pieces of her latest work. Leese said most of the work in the exhibit is oil, but there are two graphite drawings and a small watercolor. Leese was born and raised in West Texas. She remembers going with her grandmother to the post office in Odessa, where she saw Stampede by Tom Lee. She received her Bachelor of Fine Arts in 1986 from Abilene Christian University. She continues to live and work on YT Ranch in Winkler County. Living and working on the ranch, the subject matter is right here, she said. A lot of the works in this show are from the ranch. The other works are from National Parks Arts Foundation residencies. The first National Parks Arts Foundation residency she did was in 2018 at Fort Union National Monument in New Mexico. She did a Hawaii Volcanoes National Park residency last year. Work from both residencies will also be on display during the Way Out West exhibit. The exhibit includes paintings from those residencies and some from Colorado, Idaho, Big Bend, and the ranch, Leese said. More details in the painting can be found each time a piece is looked at, Zeese said. The triptych, which takes up one wall of the gallery, was created specifically for the space by Leese. Zeiss said she asked for the dimensions of the space, then decided to paint three canvases, 10 feet long by 6 feet high, making the entire piece 30 feet long by 6 feet high. The painting is called Frying Pan Fire and depicts the Frying Pan Ranch fire in Andrews County during the wildfires that swept across Texas in 2011. Zeiss said this will be the first time Lise will see the triptych displayed fully since her studio has only enough space to view two canvases side by side. Stampede by Tom Lee has been restored since Lise's childhood visits to the U.S. Post Office downtown with her grandmother and is now on permanent display at the Ellen Knoll Art Museum. She said that it feels like she's in great company to have her exhibit displayed in the same museum where Stampede is displayed. "I am really honored that the Ellen Knoll asked me to do a solo show," she said. "To be right here in the Permian Basin where most of this work was created, it feels really good to be recognized enough for a solo exhibit." If You Go, Way Out West by Alice Lease, on display through May 24th at Ellen Knoll Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, Odessa. For more information, call 432-550-9696 or on the net at knollartmuseum.org. Extension Office to offer tree care classes. Midland County AgriLife Extension Office is offering a series of free tree care classes that began Tuesday. The classes are from 6 to 8 p.m. at 22455 East Highway 80. Supper will be served. To register, go to